Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
I tell you what, it's good to be home. I know a lot of us have traveled. We're kind of in that phase of summer where we're finishing summer vacation and getting ready for the school year to kick in. And I know a lot of people are on last-second vacations. And we were gone last weekend. We went to Houston and visited our daughter and had a really good time. Went to her church, Grace Bible Church in Houston, and worshiped with them and had a really, really great time. But let me tell you something. There's just nowhere like the Heights, and it's great to be home. And it's because of a really great band and a really great God who is over everything. And so thank you guys for coming to share your life with us today. We are coming to the conclusion of this series we've been in all summer long on the body of Christ. We've talked about unity. We've talked about diversity within the body of Christ. We've talked about spiritual gifts and our place and part and all of that. And today we bring everything to a conclusion. This is the finale. One thing that we're going to want to do and want to focus on this morning is mobilization. But there are basically two things that we've said from day one, and we're going to say them till the last day. And one of them is this, that the great enemy of unity in the church is not diversity, it's divisiveness. God made us all different. We come from all sorts of different backgrounds. It's really cool to know you guys and know that whether it's ethnicity or whether it's socioeconomically or educationally or any other way, that you guys are a very diverse group of people, but God has done an amazing thing in uniting you in this body we call the Heights Fellowship, and even to a greater degree within the body of Christ. Divisiveness is what is the great enemy of unity. Diversity is a blessing to it. And the second thing that we've said throughout this study is that a study like this, where we're talking about diversity and gifts and unity and all those things, really comes down to mobilization. That you be mobilized. If we get to the end of today and you're not mobilized in the body of Christ, then something's not right. God intends for you to be mobilized within the body of Christ. It's not just about information and motivation. It's about mobilization. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that. In fact, I'm going to give you the invitation now. I'm going to give you kind of what we do at the end of the message, at the beginning of the message. We'll come back around to it. I hope everyone has a connection card. If you do not have a connection card, hold up your hand. Everybody, okay, not just one per family, because there's one in your packet of material that you got, you know, with the announcements and all that stuff when you came in. If you do not have one, let me raise your hands. Could some of you guys, we have them on the offering boxes in the back. Would some of you guys just jump up and you guys keep your hands up? We want to make sure you're holding one because you're going to need it. And I don't want you to get to the end and go, well, I didn't get one. So we want you to have one now. Thank you guys so much for doing that. And if somehow we missed you, we're sorry. They're back by the offering boxes. You can jump up and grab one. Feel free to do that as well. There on the left side of that, where we have the prayer needs and the spiritual questions, that's kind of where you guys talk back to us. We'll talk more about it at the end, but we're going to ask you to write. Did we miss anybody? Miss anybody? Lord bless you guys right here. All right, thank you, guys. We're going to start in Matthew 20. This is a pretty familiar passage. It's printed in your notes, so you can follow along on your notes or on screen here. Jesus called the disciples together, and he said, among the heathen, kings are tyrants, and each minor official lords it over those who are beneath him. But among you, it is to be quite different. That's a big but, y'all. That's a really, really, really big but. Jesus is acknowledging that he understands world culture. He understands he acknowledges that he understands world perspective. He gets the way that men think and the way that men are. And knowing all of that, Jesus says, but. And he says, among you it is to be, and the idea is radically different. He said, world culture says that if you're going to lead, if you're going to influence, if you're going to motivate, that there are two things, and we'll talk about those here in just a minute. But among you, among the church, among the body of Christ, it is a completely different perspective. He said, anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Your attitude must be like my attitude. I'm your template. I'm your pattern. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. So there's our pattern. As we mobilize, as we consider what my spiritual gift is and what ministries that God is directing me to and how I'm plugging in, your attitude needs to be like Jesus' attitude. To serve and to give your life. That's what Jesus has called all of us to do. And when you look at it, it really is an upside-down view of the idea of giftedness and ministry and effects and those things that we've talked about. By the way, if you're new here this morning, thank you, first of all, for coming. But some of this may be a little strange and unfamiliar to you. We've been on this study for 10 weeks, so you're kind of catching the tail end of it. You can go back to our website, theheightsfellowship.org, and there's a media page. You can actually listen and look at the notes for every one of these messages that we've looked at over the last 10 weeks. And you can catch yourself up. So if you miss it, you really haven't missed it, you can still go get it. But today's kind of the finale. But there's an upside-down view of gifts and giftedness and ministry and service and those kind of things. The worldview is focused on one word, self-centeredness. You could say selfishness too if you wanted to. And that self-centeredness can be summed up in two expressions. Power and control. That's the way the world says that things are supposed to unfold. This is what Jesus said. You know, among the rulers of the Gentiles, that they lord it over people. That's the first expression. And secondly, their great men exercise authority. Now, those are two pretty benign terms, the way they're presented in English. Let me give you the Greek so you understand what they mean. Both of them start with the prefix kata, which means down. And so the direction of the action in both of these words is down upon somebody. Okay? It's condescending, in other words. He says the world mindset for leadership is that it lords it over. That word literally means down lord. And it means to rule down on somebody pretty aggressively or assertively. The second word, to exercise authority, literally means to control down. So that's even more extreme, isn't it? He said that's the world mindset. It's designed to have a downward action to suppress or to oppress. But he says, but that's not the way it works with me. In fact, if you look at the way Jesus led, he always lifted, didn't he? He always brought people up, whether it was a woman caught in the middle of an act of adultery or whether it was a tax collector like Mike talked about last week in his message. By the way, thank you, Mike Adams, for filling in so ably. Such a blessing. Such a great guy. You guys are an encouragement to him, but I just want to say that because I think he's watching this morning. Love you, buddy. Anyway, but it's always an upward action as Jesus acts on people. He lifts us out of our sins. He lifts us out of the miry pit. He lifts us up. World action is always downward action. And so the upside down approach is, rather than to oppress or suppress, Jesus lifts. And he says the God approach for serving is selflessness, not selfishness. And he said, you can tell if you're serving well if you do two things. You have a heart like a servant and you work like a slave. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your gift is. It doesn't matter what ministry or what role God has given you within the body. You live like a servant and you work like a slave. And those are two key elements in regard to all of this. Matthew 20, he says, if anyone wants to be a leader, let him be your servant and let him serve like a slave. By the way, the word for servant is that same word, diakonos, that we have gone through over and over. It's just been laced throughout this study. God expects that in every ministry, in every element of giftedness. And the second word, like a slave, is the word doulos in the Greek, which is the word for someone who is owned. And that begs kind of the question with us is, who do we think really runs things? Who do we think really owns us? The Christ follower avoids the idea of selfishness and attaches himself to selflessness by understanding that he has a different point of reference. And here it is. In Romans 14:7, Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "None of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." In other words, you don't make your call. Okay, in our world, I know that we think we make the call. We choose everything from our vocation to our gender. And we try to say, this is my right, this is my place. No, it's not. Because you are owned. You are either a slave to sin or you are subject to the Lord. That the word for this is redemption, because I was a slave to my sin. I was a slave on the slave market of the cosmos, and Satan literally had ownership or rulership over my life as far as his direction until Jesus saved me. And what he did, he paid the price with his blood to ransom me, or to redeem me is the actual term, off of the slave market. And so now guess who owns me? The Lord. And so you don't own yourself, the Lord owns you, and that's what Paul is saying here. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Our point of reference in all of this is, as a part of the body of Christ, is you don't own yourself. And so the Lord gets to direct not only what gift he gives you, but where he places you. And our job is to be in step with him. Now, just to kind of keep this frame of reference going, I'm going to give you the world statement on strength, leadership, the worldview on these things, and I'm going to give you a scripture that countermands that, all right? For instance, the world says, you must be strong. If you look in popular culture, you look in social media, you look at movies, you look at music, you look at magazines, you look at stuff that we print and say, stuff that we do in all of our entertainment, stuff we do in counseling, so much of it is about empowering ourselves. You heard that terminology, right? The world says, be strong. Here's what the scripture says. That although Jesus died on the cross in weakness, he now lives by the mighty power of God. And here's where it draws us in. Look what it says. We too. So do we. We too are weak. Listen, one of the things that the world constantly tells us is that, well, churches are bad because church people are hypocrites. How many of us have heard that? Everybody. We've heard it ad nauseum, right? One of the things that we try to do here at the Heights is we try to be very honest with our community. And so we want to say it very honestly, live streaming, on the air, out here in public. We acknowledge that we are weak. We acknowledge that we are hypocrites. You know what? So are you. Here's the difference. We have been redeemed and forgiven, and we now live in him and have God's power. When the Holy Spirit indwells us at the point of spiritual conception, at the point that we are saved, he gives us the power to live the life that God gives us. He gives us a spiritual gift. He gives us the certainty of the security of our salvation. And he gives us the power to live that life. And then I always kind of laugh when I read the last part of this translation in this verse. It's one of my favorite translations of this passage. New Living is on this one. Because he says, and that's the power we use in dealing with you. In other words, I got to have God's power to put up with you. You know what? I think that's true about me. I think that you guys got to have God's power to put up with me. You know, but you know what? We got to have God's power to put up with one another, because if not, we'll pull apart, won't we? We'll rend ourselves. And so the world says, be strong. God says, no, you're weak. You got to have my power to do this. And so we become dependent, if you will, on God's power. The world says, then be independent. And man, isn't that true? Now, I am a dyed-in-the-wool Texan. Guys, we had our own nation. We're the only one who can say that. And yet, you know what? We're not independent. As Texans, we're not independent as believers in Texas. We are dependent and interdependent. We are dependent on the Lord and interdependent on one another. Listen to what it says in Matthew 5. The Lord blesses people who depend only on Him. Maybe you've heard it said this way, because here's the usual translation of this. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you realize that you are bankrupt before God spiritually in every way, and you are totally dependent on Him to bring you life, to give you forgiveness, to extend a guilt-free, God-glorious living before you, you're in the right place. But if you think in some way you have a part to do with that, then you're going to miss out. Only those who depend only on Him, they belong to the kingdom of heaven, it says. The worldview is dependence upon the Lord and interdependence in the church with one another. The world says if you want to be a leader, you want to be influential, you want to be motivational, you've got to demand. You've got to be intolerant. You've got to take people by the throat. You've got to seize the moment. You've got to carpe the diem, man. And be demanding and intolerant of just this. We make movies about it. We glorify it, how it changes organizations and people and teams and those kind of things. Listen to what Jesus says. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. It's second mile living. It's a second mile attitude. Totally the opposite of what the worldview is. The world says make it happen, manipulate it. I mean, we encourage, we train our people in education and in business and in sports and in avocation even. Make it happen, do something. That's really a nice sentiment, but listen to what the Lord says. No, take my yoke upon you. In other words, get in step with me. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle and you will find rest for your souls. And to our work-weary, frantic-scheduled culture, what a blessing this passage is that, listen, what's really important is getting in step with me. And if you will walk forward in that, you're not going to be burned out and used up all the time. You're going to be empowered to live the way that I want you to live. It all boils down to Philippians 2, one of the most famous passages in all the Bible. That Jesus said, you remember when He said in the earlier passage, you got to have my attitude? Well, here it is. Have the attitude in you which was in Christ Jesus, who existed as God in eternity past. He existed fully and completely as God, but at some point He stripped off the God suit and put on the man suit. And He took the form of a man, taking it, He says, even the form of a bondservant, the lowest form of servant, being made in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of, as a man, He humbled Himself even to the point of death on a cross. That's our attitude. Let me ask you something. As you mobilize this morning, is that your attitude? How do we know? Okay, some ways to serve. Number one, be where Jesus is. You don't go out and do what you want to do. You find where Jesus is working, and you become a part of that. You look and see where He's directing, and you step into that rather than going off somewhere and trying to get Him to drag along behind you. All those who want to be my disciples must come and follow me because my servants must what? Be where I am. Let me ask you something. Where do you see God working? Where do you see God leading? And if they follow me, the Father, He said in John 12, will honor them. The second key to serving is this. Serve other people. You serve God best as you serve other people. For you have been called to live in freedom, not to satisfy your own nature, your own natural desires. But you've been given freedom to serve one another in love, Galatians tells us. When you think about it, it comes down to this. That all service is work in love, is love and work close. That's all service is. What can I do to help you, man? What do you need? When you're starting to do that, when you look around the church and you look around in ministry and say, man, we need help there. How come there's nobody there? Why are we having a struggle in this? You know, what can I do to help? Man, then you're starting to mobilize. So as you begin to understand what your spiritual gift is, and I don't know if you've done that yet, If you look in the packet of material you were given on the announcement page, there is a URL, a web link, that you can go to that we put on our website, and you can take a spiritual gift assessment that kind of will give you some direction as to what your spiritual gifts probably are going to be, where you're going to fall in all of that. If you don't have internet, or you don't have a printer, or you're just like, I don't want to do it, if you'll go out to the table out in the mall before you leave, we have several of them printed off, and you can get those and take those home, and you can do your own self-test and just kind of see, okay, Lord, where are you leading me here? What are you telling me here? And maybe you already know, great. But if you don't, and you're beginning to unwrap your gift, a couple of things. Number one, know that you're not the source. It's not about you. And secondly, have a team perspective. You know, if you work on a team, whether it's in business or education or sports or something in a community organization or a nonprofit or something you're working in, you're with a team of people, you always look for those people that are most valuable kind of people or players, right? And you can probably think in your organization or your business or your school or your team or whatever, somebody who kind of fits. We had a kid when I played basketball in high school on our team named David Harbin. He was a quarterback. He's a big old good-looking, hard-working guy. But when he played basketball, he wasn't the most talented guy we had. He wasn't the best shooter. He certainly wasn't the best ball handler. He wasn't the best passer. He wasn't the best rebounder. He was just the guy who would do whatever you needed him to do. And man, when somebody was killing us on the boards and we needed somebody to get a rebound, David would go in and block that guy out that was killing us so that we could get a rebound. David, if he had to, would take the shot if he had to. David would make the pass. He would be the guy who did whatever we did. He was the guts of who we were. And there were a lot of guys who were much more talented across the board, much more complete players, but nobody was as valuable as he was. Be that guy in the church. Be that girl in the ministry. Have a team perspective, an MVP-er. MVP-ers, first of all, understand it's not about you unless your name, of course, is God. And if your name is Jesus, congratulations, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the original Jesus, okay? So it's not about you. The job is larger than your abilities. You're probably going to feel overwhelmed. You can't do every job. We are interdependent. That's why you probably just have one spiritual gift. God did it that way so you would have to lean on other people, and they would have to lean on you. Not everyone is going to be like you, and so you're going to have to learn to rely on others. That grafts us together. That fits us together. So have a team perspective. Number three is this. Be an active presence. And what I mean by that is don't be a passive presence. Here's a passive presence. Okay, if you need me, you know, let me know. Man, look around. Look around and see. I don't know if you noticed when you walked in here before the service, we had people at some doors, but not every door. Man, I want somebody there in every door to greet whoever comes in, to smile and just say, man, we are glad to see you. I don't know this for sure, but I bet if you walk back into children's ministry and said, Brandy, where are we hurting today? She would be able to tell you. Or when you ask Randy something about life groups, he would be able to tell you. What I'm telling you is the opportunities are there. And when I say be an active presence, you be looking. You be saying, hey, what do I have to do? What do you need me to do? It's like the guy on our basketball team. Coach, I got him. He will not get another rebound this quarter. He is going to be away from the board somehow, some way. You love that guy, don't you, Mark? Be that guy. Be an active presence. Remember this passage. He who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Don't be slack in that. Be active in that. And so as we finish this morning, how do we serve? I'm just going to give you some qualities. Number one is wholeheartedly. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Realize that whatever you do, you may be changing a baby's diaper. You may be handing a packet of material, bulletin material to somebody who is walking in the door to the auditorium. You may be standing out at the exterior door just holding it for somebody who needs help if their hands are full coming in. You may be working in hospitality. You may be working in youth ministry or men's ministry or women's ministry. You may be a life group leader. Understand that you're not serving the Heights Fellowship, that you're not serving Mike, that you're not serving Randy or whomever. You're serving the Lord. And so you bring that awareness in, man, the Lord is with me in this. The Lord is watching on this. I really want to glorify Him. And whatever it is, I want to do this well. Let that be your attitude. Serve wholeheartedly. The word wholeheartedly literally means well-minded. Have the right mindset. Understand there's a bigger picture than just a little bit you can see. You fit into a much, much greater work than you ever, ever imagined. Number two, be kind and cooperative. I think kindness in our culture is one of those qualities that is just rare. We don't know how to be kind anymore. We've forgotten that. And so let the church be that. I love this verse. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. And let me tell you something, believer. If you would let 2 Timothy 2:24 be the overriding verse when you post stuff on social media, your world would be different. Just be kind. In fact, about 2 years ago, I read this verse in my quiet time. The Lord really worked in my heart and soul on it. And I just decided from here on out on my social media posts, I'm going to try to do this. And I worked really, really hard to really change my heart and my mind in relation to responding or not responding, to arguing or not arguing. I just won't do it anymore because it's not the venue to do that. But we need that in all of our endeavors. We need that in all of our applications, right? Just be kind. Now, we need it in marriages, don't we? We need it with our children or children to our parents. We need it in our workplace. Just be kind and cooperative to people. We're all in this together. You know, one thing is for sure, unless the Lord comes, none of us get out of this alive, do we? Unless we know Christ, and even though we're dead, so shall we live, John 11, right? So be kind and cooperative with one another. Number three, be devoted. Love on one another. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring one of them. Just because somebody got the job you think that you wanted, I mean, so many times I see us being resentful. Well, I could have done that. I probably could have done that better. You may could have. But maybe the Lord put them in that position. I have no doubt that there are any number of people who have more skill, have more presentation ability, have more vision or more insight in pastoring than I do. I get that. But you know what? They're not the one that the Lord called to this post for right now. And so be excited. Help those out who are called to that post. Maybe someday the Lord will put you in that place. But don't be resentful about that. Be devoted to one another. Be accepting of those around you. Basically, that recognizes not everybody's going to look like you, so we're going to have differences. So just be aware of that. So accept one another as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified, Paul wrote in Romans 15. Pursue harmony. That's an active idea. You're not just going to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to do anything, so we'll be harmonious. You are pursuing harmony. Live in harmony with each other, Paul wrote in Romans 12. Don't try to act important. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. Listen, a lot of you guys have amazing resumes. You have incredible credentials. I mean, you got degrees on degrees on degrees. You got all kinds of experience. You know what? But we're all in this together. So live in harmony with one another. Enjoy just being around ordinary people. Don't insist on priority. It's so funny to me to watch adults a lot of times in line places, whether it be in traffic or whether it be in an event or somewhere else, and they act like first graders on their way to lunch. They're constantly trying to, you know, get to the very, very front of the line. If you trust the Lord and you trust Him completely, He's got this. So don't insist on priority. Jesus made that great claim in Luke 14 when He said, listen, when you go to dinner somewhere in a special banquet, don't insist on being at the head of the table. Take your seat at the end, and if the host wants you to be up at the front, he'll bring you up front. Otherwise, just enjoy the meal, man. Enjoy the event. For he who tries to honor himself will be humbled. Works the other way, too. Don't seek recognition. Don't look to be noticed. Don't look to have your plaque on the organ, you know? To have your name attached to whatever. Just know that you had a part in it. One of the greatest lessons of discipleship I ever learned from my mentor, Jeff Bearden, was this. That son, you are just the link in the chain of somebody else's spiritual walk. Just be strong as your place in the chain. You may be the one who gets to lead them to salvation, or you may just be another conversation in the link that directed them ultimately to God. But be content to be that link in the chain. Everything Jesus said about the religious hypocrites of his day was done for show. They wore clothes, they acted, they approached it, all about having recognition. He said, listen, that's not my way. Don't seek recognition. Realize you're probably going to be underappreciated and sometimes you're going to get hurt. Just know that. I know that. That happens to me sometimes too. But know that going in. The church isn't perfect. It's a laboratory. And sometimes in laboratories, things blow up. Sometimes they blow up in your face. The Lord knows that. That's why we need to be kind and forgiving to one another for events like that. Expect to be misunderstood, especially within your culture. Expect resentment from your culture. Expect even persecution. Jesus said, listen, I'm the master, and if they did it to me, guess what? They're going to do it to you. So these things we all have as knowledge going in, but know this. God is going to be working. Isn't that great? You look around and say, man, is God working in the Heights Fellowship? Yes, He is. Is He working in the women's ministry? Yes, He is. Is He working in the children's ministry? Yes, He is. Is He working in our ministry out within the community? Yes, He is. He's working. Find your place and attach to that. Jesus said, my Father never stopped working. Some of you guys who are going through the desert, who are out in the wilderness today, man, it's been a long time since you've really felt the passion and the heat of God's moving in your life. Know that. Just by faith, trust that God didn't quit working just because you're not seeing it right now. You have not been abandoned. You are not alone. You have not been left by the side of the road like a piece of trash. God is still working, and He longs to draw you in to what He's doing. Trust that, talk to Him, and let Him begin to move you. I don't know how long it will take, but it will happen because He never quit working, y'all. And Jesus said, that's why I keep working. When it comes down, the bottom line is this: you don't burn out by serving too much, y'all. You burn out because you're not being filled up. One of the reasons that you need to have a daily time of devotion, a quiet time, whatever you call it, you need to be in the scripture, you need to be in prayer, is because that's one of the major filling stations in your life. And when you avoid that or abandon that or forget that or you're slack in that, you're going to begin to become depleted. You are. And so draw near to the Lord if you're a believer in regard to that. You burn out by not filling up. And so, having said that, I want to move to the place of mobilization this morning, okay? I hope you have your connection card. Everybody get your connection card and hold it in your hand. I'm going to ask you to respond to us today. There are four questions we're going to ask. These are not questions you've never heard before. In fact, we've leaned on these in a big way throughout this series. First of all is this question. This is the big one. Am I a believer? And here's what I mean by that, just to be clear. Have I been forgiven by God and indwelt by His Spirit because I have trusted only in the sufficient finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross? That's a believer. Okay? And if you haven't done that, then man, today's the day to do that. If you're watching live stream or you're going to watch this later, no, that is the most important thing that could ever come out of this. So you know what? I've trusted church. I've tried to make sure I was religious, and I've tried to be moral, and I've tried to be a good man or a good woman, and I've done certain things hoping that I would get God's favor. Friend, you don't get God's favor. He gifts his favor to you. And the way he gifted that was by stepping out of the God suit and into the man suit and living among us as a man and dying on a cross, shedding his blood, absorbing your sin and my sin so that you could be forgiven and redeemed. And so receiving that eternal life is a matter of saying, okay, I've got to quit trying to save myself and trust Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what number one is. Man, you're going to have the opportunity to do that when we pray here in just a minute if you've never done that. But then the other one is for those who have already done that. You take the first step. Well, here's the second step. What's your gift? I've given you kind of an opportunity to begin to learn maybe what your gift is. Kind of assess that today. Are you using it here in the church? That's the big question. Am I mobilized? Maybe you've intended to be in the past and you just haven't done it yet. Well, good. Today is the day that we begin to really take a significant step. That way, what's stopping you? So here's what I want you to do. On your connection card, there on that left side, you know, maybe you need to put a prayer request in. That was probably would supersede this. Or maybe you have a really intense spiritual question that God has really made you wrestle with over the years. But I need to know it's you. So tell me you're here. Give me your name, man. Come on. My name's Mike. Great to meet you. I hope you'll let me know you're here, all of you. But then what I want you to do is tell me if you know what your spiritual gift is, those seven gifts that we talked about, tell me what it is. And maybe you're already involved in a ministry, a ministry opportunity, but maybe you haven't done that yet. Don't delay. There is in your packet of material a list of ministry opportunities. Of things that we need. These aren't things that we wish for. This isn't a hope list. This is needs that we currently know we have. Hopefully you've looked through that and prayed through that. But I want you to begin to say, hey, maybe, you know, I could do this. I could help out there. We need to hear from you. All right, now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. And our guys, our men and women who receive the offering, they're going to come and be in place. So you guys be moving while I'm praying, all right? And they're going to pass the offering plates. As they pass those plates, you can drop your card in there. If you need more time, because I know this is happening kind of fast, we have offering boxes also located by the exits. You can drop them in there. If you still need more time, then take your time, and before you leave, leave them with the people out at the greeter table in the main mall, and they'll get them to us as well. So we're giving you lots of opportunities to make sure those get in. But, man, we want to hear from all of you. God intends you use your gift in a ministry and mobilize. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for the morning offering, as we end the message and look forward to the application of what we've talked about, Lord, I pray your Spirit would really linger in our heart and in our head and in our ears, speaking to us. Father, there are some who really need to respond to your invitation for salvation, to be forgiven, to have their sins stripped away and receive your forgiveness, to be clothed, as the Bible says, in your rightness and your righteousness. Father, that only happens as we trust Jesus and Jesus alone. So, Lord, those who may be listening who need to take that step and pray that prayer, just they can breathe that prayer from their heart to you. Jesus, forgive me. I can't save myself. You saved me. I get it now. I know that. I don't deserve it, but you give it to me because you love me. So, Lord, I ask you to give it to me. And, Lord, now live in me and help me to live out what you want me to be. Father, for some in this room, we need to stop making excuses and step into the ministry. Father, some of us need to discover what our gifts are and then step into the ministry. But, Lord, we all need to be mobilized. So we thank you and we love you. Father, I pray that there would be a great outpouring of your people this morning as we respond to you. Lord, we thank you for this offering. We thank you for those who give it and pray that you would move in each of our hearts and help us know this is one of the great ways that we mobilize as well. And so we give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.